Tim Versalotti is director of the Western New England University Poll, a professor of political science, and an incredibly insightful person when it comes to so many different subjects. Thanks for joining us today, Tim.
Oh, hello, Alan.
Hello. So here's my question for you. Polling. I'm getting a lot of calls at home in Western Massachusetts. Some of them sound like they may be coming from India. I don't want to, suggest that that's the case, but there's very strange accents on people. How do we know who's a true practitioner?
Okay. Those are good questions, and yeah, people need to be smart participants in polls. So the first thing that folks ought to do is ask where the individual is calling from, what polling firm is sponsoring the survey, and on whose behalf are they conducting the survey. Mm-hmm. And if the interviewer won't reveal that information, it's probably not worth your time to do the survey. Now, some interviewers will say, I will be happy to share that with you at the end of the survey, because if there is a sponsor that the disclosure of that sponsor might bias your answers, methodologically, we do want to get unbiased responses. So sometimes interviewers will be instructed to say, I'm happy to share this with you at the end of the interview.
But then you have to believe them that they will.
That's right. That's right. And let me offer one more caution. Academic survey research centers like ours, we're getting more and more international students on our campus.
Uh-huh.
And I actually employ a decent number of students from India who are sitting in our call center in Springfield.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's
very interesting, because we've all been kind of spoiled We're used to calls from other countries, from calling rooms, so we transfer that to our pollsters. I didn't mean to insult anybody, but yes, I think it's an issue.
No doubt. And again, I can't stress enough, if you're trying to decide whether it's worth your while or not, ask questions. And if there's any hesitation on the part of the interviewer, it's probably not worth your while.
Well, I never take a poll myself. I always say, I'm a journalist. I can't hang up. So I know you don't like that, but the fact of the matter is, I know enough of these folks who have been really not honest about this. So, and there are so many scams going on one way or another that it's got to make the pollster's job harder.
It makes it incredibly difficult. There's a great deal of suspicion out there. And it's not just in terms of whether a polling firm is on the up and up. Respondents are also hostile if they think you're polling on behalf of a specific candidate or a political party. And there was a period where we were partnering with the Springfield Republican. Mm. And when people asked who was sponsoring the survey, the interviewers were instructed to say the Springfield Republican, and then to add very, very quickly, which has no ties to the Republican Party. It got its name during the abolition movement in the mid-19th century. So people would understand that we are not a partisan organization, because that really does knock down your response rate. People are just tired of partisanship right now.
So there are different polls, and by now they have track records, right? So here in New York State, for example, I don't want to use names, but we know that there's one particular poll which has historically given the Republicans a better shot in terms of results. And I've seen that very poll reverse itself at the last minute, and you get the feeling they're in bed with a candidate.
I hear that in reference to polling, and it's hard to know what goes on internally in polling organizations. And I recommend to people, there's a website called 538.com mm-hmm. that Nate Silver runs. He used to be with the New York Times. And they do a report card on polling organizations where they take a look at the track record of the pre-election polling and then how close they were or how far off they were from the final result. And beyond that, 538.com also assesses the transparency of the polling firm in describing its methodology, and then assigns grades. And so if you're ever wondering about a firm, the grades are on a scale of A+ to F. And you can get a sense of the track record. And then I'll just do a little push for Western New England. We have a B+. I want that A, but we're one of the two highest rated firms in Massachusetts in terms of call centers on 538.com. And we put a lot of work into that. We take a lot of pride in it. We also do a lot in terms of transparency of our methodology, because it's very important that people understand how we arrive at the estimates that we do. And it's good for polling when everybody does that.
Now, Donald Trump famously said, I love the undereducated. Is that a target group for him? And how can you control for that, Tim Versalotti, excellent pollster that you are, how can you control for the fact that he is reaching for a particular demographic and you may not have seen that demographic either turn out in the past? And that worries me a great deal when I look at this kind of data.
It should be a source of some concern for everyone who is in polling or who comments on politics, because you're trying to project in your polls what the likely voter will look like on election day. And individuals who do not have a college degree turn out at lower rates than people who've been to college. And we base that on exit polling from past election cycles, and we'll have to take a look to see if we need to adjust those expectations for this fall. We have some guidance from the exit polls that were done in some of the primary states this spring, but it's definitely something to keep in mind when you're trying to model what the electorate will look like this November.
But you said the crucial thing here, I believe, which is that part of the way pollsters set up the paradigm, or whatever you want to call it, that they're dealing with, is to find out what people did in the last election. Now, if in this Trumpian experience, he's looking at a demographic which has traditionally not turned out, as you just said, in the numbers which you would hope of citizens would, but there may be a passion here that it will be totally unexpected. I mean, there's only a 6-point spread between the two candidates. Looks like a lot, but it may not be.
That's true. You can measure for intensity in your polling and add that into your likely voter model, because people who are more excited about a campaign or are following it more closely, you might give them a little more weight when you're putting together the model. And most pollsters, we run a number of different scenarios and look at the estimates. They'll shift, not always by a whole lot, a point or two, as we try to decide what do we think the electorate's going to look like. And again, we do have some exit poll data from the spring. Now, primary electorates are very, very different.
Absolutely.
From the general election, no question. But you can see whether a larger portion of the primary electorate was folks without a college degree compared to the past, and perhaps factor that in.
Tim Versalotti, we're out of time for this edition of the Congressional Corner. I thank you so much, because I think your work is terrific. An A, I would give you an A, to be honest with you.
Let's hope for a curve. Thank you.
But in any case, let me just say, we'll be back. We'll talk more polling and more politics.